Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Enterprise, we know you're constantly on the move. Getting this.
Thanks, Mom.
Fixing that. You reach a destination. And then it's on to the next. And when life is moving at the speed of, well, life, Enterprise is right there with you. Around the corner and around the globe. We'll keep you moving forward. Enterprise, for lives in drive.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV, and more specifically, our new episode format, Pitchtown TV, where one of the Bingetown members or a special guest comes on to pitch the pilot of their favorite show. Today, we have a full roster on deck. We've got Luke and myself as the vets, B-Toms and producer Dave as the rooks, and our special guest, friend of the pod and the pitch queen herself, my girl, Julia Robb. Now, Julia, tell us, what are you pitching us today?
Hi.
Well, I didn't realize it was supposed to be my favorite show.
No, it's not. I just, well, you know, it's like a show they really like. Yeah. Is too wordy. So,
what is your favorite show, though?
God. What is your favorite show?
Lost.
I do love Lost. I mean, I don't know. I'm one of the types that I just return to old favorites, especially in the year 2020/2021.
So Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, that's probably.
That's it.
It's probably a safe bet.
Respect.
Yeah.
Respect.
I have not. I rewatched it all except the very last episode because I don't want to have rewatched it all.
Yeah.
Great.
Hate when things
approved.
End.
Yes, exactly. But today I'm bringing you the pilot episode of Netflix's The OA.
Ooh, baby. When we talked about Pitchtown and ideas, this was one of the first ones we threw out. One, because I was dying to do a rewatch. Me and Luke absolutely love the show as well.
I think for our Netflix original bracket as well, me and you were diehard stands for this show. We were fighting for it. I think we're the only two that have seen it on the podcast, right? Yeah. Jimmy hasn't seen it yet?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's this.
Paul may have seen it.
There's something special about The OA. And I was telling Brian this before we got on the podcast, where if you find someone that has seen this show and you talk with them about it, it's not the same thing as finding someone that's watched Game of Thrones or Queen's Gambit or something like that. It's if you find somebody that has watched The OA, this is its own category of fandom where you just start gushing.
Doing the movements. Oh, when we were back in the office, I had a buddy who I convinced to watch it. I don't know if he really liked it or not, but
yeah.
Man, you should have. I was.
I don't know how we haven't learned the movements. And of course, the rooks have no fucking idea what we're talking about, but it is iconic.
Yes.
Absolutely iconic.
Let's give some peripherals about this show real quick, just so everyone that's listening has an idea of where we're going. This is currently on Netflix. It's a 2-season show, 8 episodes apiece.
Yeah.
And the main character of this show, her name is Britt Marling. She is also the writer of the show, along with someone else that she met. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Zal Batman.
Yeah, because it's a name for sure. But when I found out that she wrote it as well, I was like, this is dope because it is its own fucking brand of weird. And it's she could only play it, I feel like, because she wrote it and she knows the weird intricacies of it.
Yeah, so she wrote. It was originally supposed to be 5 seasons and she had it all written before Netflix even picked it up. So she had it done front to back. She knew exactly what she wants to be portraying in the first early seasons to pay off in the season, 4 and 5. So that's why I think that's part of the reason it stands out to me. I think she just crushes it and she knows exactly what she's going for. But unfortunately, just to break the news, if you haven't already heard, the OA has been canceled after 2 seasons, and it wasn't because of a lack of fandom. It had something to do with the production costs, because I think The OA was one of the original Netflix shows that had like a backlash once it got canceled on Twitter.
Big time.
Hashtag save The OA. That was one of the biggest ones first. So it has such a diehard fandom that once you guys watch this, you'll understand why. It's just probably one of the most creatively unique shows ever written ever.
Hi, Dave here. I'm a rook on this show. And I would like to say that, yes, I was getting a lot of like Stranger Things vibes. Like, I really like this kind of show where, or like movie where you're like thrown into a plot that you don't really understand, and you have to like wait the whole season almost, it seems like, to figure out what's going on. And I always enjoy watching these kinds of shows. But yeah, I was getting like Stranger Things vibes a little bit, but way better, I think, in my mind.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that, because it does centralize a lot of the storytelling around like a host of, in this case, high school, and Stranger Things, they're what, like middle school age?
Yeah.
But I think that, yeah, for sure tethers it to that kind of.
I think it's that, exactly. Yeah. That they're just older and it just feels right. less, I guess just that presence just makes it feel less childish.
I thought you were going to say because like the OA and Eleven are such like mystery characters. I thought that's why you were going to say like it's eccentric around someone where you're like, what the fuck is up with this person? Because the first 5 minutes I was watching at lunch at work today, and I was like, I have insane chills. Like, I've seen the show before and I'm acting like I haven't. It was hit after hit. The moment you find out that she used to be blind and she's not anymore, like, I'm a sick fuck, and I really love like kidnapping stories or like something like that, like something where someone's been gone for years and years and years, and now you kind of see how their psyche was affected, like, you know what I mean, something like that. I love that. And the weird like sci-fi spin on this is so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. B-Toms, give us, what was your just first instinct on what the show was, or what you thought of it at least?
I really wasn't anticipating anything. But after episode one, there's nothing really that comes to mind that I can compare it to. It kind of, I can already see the elements that they're playing with, obviously like sci-fi, but supernatural, like heavenly forces are play, and there's so much mystery surrounding this character of the OA. She already has three names: Nina, Prairie, the OA. Oh, like, man, which so is good. She?
I know.
Oh my god!
Draw me in for more. Yeah, I don't know what to say. I don't think I'm supposed to know what to think yet.
Do you have any guesses as to what OA means?
So that's the one thing I knew coming into this is that.
Yeah, we're not going to say it.
I
have no idea.
Nothing else.
I was thinking of like something like AI, like artificial intelligence, like something like omnipotent something. Like, I was like, that's what I was
thinking.
Put
it on the board, because this is in stone. What do you want?
Omnipotent was the only one that I could think of. I could like.
If you guessed it, I'd be shook.
I feel like it's really obvious.
No, because from the pilot, you don't have no idea what she's about.
All right.
Spoken as someone who's seen the entire series, it's so obvious what the OA stands for. Yeah. No, and actually, now that we're talking about it, I'm a little bit upset that I do know what it stands for, because it definitely is driving kind of the connections that are already forming in my head because I know what those two words
are. It literally is like the main question I have here is like, what does the OA mean? Is it actually a name, or does it represent something?
I will be honest,
like, is she
with
reincarnated
you
as someone, like, it was weird because it was weird because if we're getting right into the theories, then she remembered her original life, which I'm going to say is Nina. I'm going to call Nina her original life. And then she came out of this coma missing period of her life and was instantly just like kind of forgetful of everything else. I mean, she did have those memories, we find out, but like, I don't know. It felt like she was just reincarnated. Her soul was different in a different person's body.
So I can define two clear points that we know happened. It's one, her childhood as Nina and this traumatic experience where the bus goes into the river, whatever. And then somehow it seems like this Nancy and Abel are her adopted parents.
Shout out Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Shout out Walking
What's
Dead.
What's his name on Walking Dead?
Herschel.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of that. Wait, no, this was my quiz. Where's the mom from? She's on Carnival Row. What's her name?
Cara Delevingne.
Is she really?
She's the Harris fact.
Is that Finette? She's way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. I feel like you brought that up in Carnival Row and I still didn't remember that.
Yeah, I did. Anyway.
But anyway, back to the parents.
But anyway, yeah. So they already told us that she grew up in Russia as Nina. She became blind after this bus accident. And I guess she's going to go in on the story of how she went from point A there to growing up in what state does it take place in?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. It was the St. Louis Hospital, right?
Oh, no, that's where they found her. She's actually elsewhere. Like, the YouTube video went viral, and that's how, like, they found. I think they were just in a different state or city.
Because they later go on to talk, the boys talk about, like, college, and they're like, oh, I got it in state schools. And
do they name them?
I'm pretty sure they do say I can go anywhere. French says I can go anywhere in Michigan.
Okay.
But I never thought about that before.
Okay, bringing it full circle. How did this little girl from Russia wind up a late 20 something in Indiana with a perfect English accent. And then also, once she was with this adopted family, she went missing for 7 years, which is question number one. Where was the OA for 7 years? How can she see?
She and was there.
Like 20 more questions.
She says she was there.
I loved that line where she's like, when you disappeared, I was present the whole time. Like, that is such interesting wording to say to somebody. They're like, no, no, bitch, I was there.
Okay. That conversation that she has relatively early into the episode with the FBI agents is incredible. Yep. If you know what, where the show is going,
yep,
because she does some good writing for the dialogue there and just like how she's acting and reacting to their questions. There is rewatch value to the show that I did not think was going to be as high as it is because of things like that. There's such good dialogue written early on in this episode, front to back, that just killed it.
I could tell that dialogue meant something, but I knew she was hiding something. Like, she's obviously hiding something. It's not as straightforward as
so.
That.
The one thing I was wondering was, what were the circumstances around her going missing for 7 years that made it such a high profile case? Did she evaporate into thin air?
Because she was she's a white girl that went missing in America. Yeah.
But even so, why are there FBI agents that were assigned to this case that are coming back 7 years after the fact? And also, Steve made a point to say, yeah, I remember when she went missing. We weren't allowed outside for 3 years.
I think that's the thing. Her being in like a small town, and I think it just her disappearance or abduction, we don't really know what happened, shaped a lot of people's childhoods in the town itself. So they all obviously all know her, and it's a small town to begin with. So you kind of get that sense that they, you know, they're neighbors, they know one another, at least in the like development they live in.
Nice houses too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. But the other thing too is she was a blind girl. So there's a lot. I mean, there's just already an innate sense of vulnerability that comes with someone who's they can't see anything. That there's not much they could really go off of. So
that's why I think that moment when you find out that she used to be blind is so good, because it's such a good twist. But it was also like a very emotional moment. They like morphed those two emotions, like exciting, like wow, mind blown type deal, and the emotion of the parents. I was like, nice.
Knowing what I know, that was chill moment number one. Was when the parents walk in and they say, she's never seen us before.
Because you think it was like Stockholm syndrome or like something where she's so traumatized that
she just straight up doesn't know these people.
Like, could have been a memory wipe thing. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be anything, but you're not expecting, she's literally never seen them. She knows them. She's just never seen them before.
Yeah, that was a good moment when she starts touching her mom's face.
Yeah.
How about the part when she steps onto her childhood rug and uncurls her toes?
Incredible.
So many small moments like that that I think they really nail if you know to look.
Yeah.
Well, this is a true story, so.
It's a documentary.
Yeah. One quick thing I do want to say, though, to Brian specifically, is that I know you know what it means, but don't hang on to it. It's an amazing, it's a cool thing. It doesn't
exactly. Never knew it.
It doesn't dictate the whole show, is what I'm saying. Yeah. And also, I do want to get out there. Let's just name the main characters so that they have, in case you don't know off the top of your head.
Let's do some little
roster right here. We got Prairie Johnson, obviously. So Steve, you know, Steve, Dave, he's just the bully kid.
Those two were the only names I could remember.
Steve fucks.
First of all, that came in so hot. That's
blood in my dick.
Oh my God.
I was not expecting a sex scene, and it literally just goes right into a sex scene. And I was
and that song.
I was more surprised at the dynamic he has with his father when he's just post fucking the girl. Yeah. He's just sitting there naked and he walks in and it's like
that. I was like, this is not how high schoolers fuck.
No.
I mean, the dude definitely doesn't even look like he's in high school. But
oh, wait, here's a question I had. How old do you think the OA is? I don't know if they said, do they say it in this episode? So it was 7 years ago.
Was it taking place or when it came out?
No, like, I'm asking in the show, how old do you think she's supposed to be now? Because honestly, she looks 35. So it's like she was stolen as a 28-year-old. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, I'm genuinely asking how old do you think she is.
I imagined it being like her again, like around the age of when the bus incident happened, like 8 or so, maybe.
Yeah, but you thought she was like 15 years?
No, because she obviously spent a lot of time.
Before that scene happened, I literally thought, okay, the bus crashes. missing 7 years, but we already see she gets placed back into the world with her father. So I was like, okay, that cancels out that theory. So I have no idea anymore.
Yeah, but you don't know the busing until the very end of the episode. You wouldn't even have that in your brain that that happened.
I think in my head, I guess just based off all the TV shows and like movies I've seen, like my first thought is just a young child goes missing and then become like as a teenager.
You know, I think that's actually a really interesting question that you asked that, because there is this sense about her, and on rewatch, I did make a note of it that she's got this like weird childlikeness to her. Mm-hmm. Like you see her on like the pegs of Steve's bike and she's like opens her or like spreads her arms and she's like just enjoying.
I was looking for those symptoms too, because if she was gone for that long and didn't have any like human adult interaction, then she's going to act like a child.
So she's kind of frozen at this place where whatever age she was 7 years ago.
It wasn't that obvious though.
Then you have these moments where she's very, very wise, right? Shit comes out of her mouth and you're like, when she's talking to BBA and you're just like, what the hell? Are you young? Are you old soul? You don't really know quite how to place her. So I think that's really
That was an incredible
Let's continue with the characters, because that's the name we couldn't remember.
Is Phyllis from
The Office.
Wrote here, don't call her Phyllis, because
they don't say her name, what they call her for the series in this episode, but it is BBA,
which
because
I fucking love.
Roderick
Allen.
Yeah, they say her name. Roderick
Allen. They don't call her BBA as a nickname, which they eventually do. So we got Prairie / the OA. We have Steve. We have BBA. We have Jesse, who is the YouTuber with Steve. French, who is the lacrosse player. He's like the Dave looking guy. And then we have that's everyone, right? And then Buck. Buck / Michelle.
Buck is
called
the sweetest.
Both throughout this episode.
For how much I love the episode, none of the characters did much for me. I think I was more sold on the plot point than individual characters.
Bro, if you watched this episode and the OA wasn't doing anything for you.
No, I'm saying the individual characters. Like, there wasn't a character that I was like, oh, I'm rooting for this person.
Wow, because Steve is such an interesting character to me. Because
at first I was like, I fuck this dude. He punched the dude in the fucking larynx.
Oh, the OA is the everything.
Hold on, that's a lot. I love all of that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, because, well, Steve comes in hot. We don't know anything about him. We just know him as the bully. And then he literally punches someone in the larynx who's like a well-renowned singer. Like, purposely did it in that area, too. Like, as soon as he held his throat, I was like, that was just...
Every time he calls the OA crazy, I'm like, you sweet, cute boy. I'm obsessed. I love it. I just like, it's like friendship. He's the only one who, like, even though he's calling her crazy, he's the only one who believes
her. He committed to calling her the OA.
I love
that moment.
She has this little smile when she's in the dressing room, and she's, it's so cute.
Yeah.
I love, it's a little soft on my softer side, but I love the stranger train. What is it? What they refer to?
Strangers on a train.
Yeah, strangers on a train. I love that little concept that they have, that that back and forth. It's cute.
I actually know what that is.
I actually haven't seen it either, but I believe it's this idea that if you commit one another's crimes, they can't.
That's what they say. I love that.
Yeah,
that's hot.
All I'll say is,
I thought it was just like a method out. Like,
I think
theory.
It's a movie.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I guess this is so biased, obviously, because I'm the vet, but I just love when Steve's on the screen. I want more Steve. I'm so just interested in just how he interacts with people. I think he's just like he's a screen grabber. If it's not the OA on it, it's him. So
I'm drawn to him because it's like the OA defined. You have your inside self and your outside self, and like, he is this bully on the outside, but you can tell there's layers to him. But you can like see it when BBA winks at him after like the good parent teacher conference, and he like smiles to himself. He's like, wow, this is great. I have a teacher on my side now. Mm-hmm. And
see, that felt cunning to me. I felt like he was like, I just got away with it. I wasn't on his side then yet.
Okay.
But I see what you mean.
And then when he has the car ride, when his girlfriend or whatever picks him up from the side of the road, and then he's just like, you know, fuck it. Why don't you want to be my girlfriend?
Vulnerable, yeah.
And she gives him probably the worst answer you can hear, is I was just using you to get good at sex. And it clicks for him. He's like, fuck this. I'm out. Opens his door, just runs to the OA. Like, so I'm putting my belief in something else. Like,
I will say, at that age, it's probably not the worst thing to hear it as a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I can say.
I don't know. At that age,
if you have feelings, for the other one, like in a mutually like exclusive situation like that, it's great for both parties. But when you have feelings,
he also pulled the classic Kyle move of punching a hole in the wall. That was a bad look.
Kyle does that?
No, not Kyle Duhl. That's like that's like a thing. The internet named them Kyles, like with the Monster Energy.
Like Chad
drinks.
Or something.
Yeah.
Kyle's punch
I was
walls.
Like, our sweet Kyle punches holes in the wall. That is concerning.
I will say it's not surprising at all. Like, you guys have not. You guys don't have exposure yet to French, Buck, and Jesse yet. So it's it's fine. Just I wouldn't even expect you to really like them yet.
But you will.
Well, I think you can tell though right away though that our introduction to them is literally they're all at this abandoned house buying drugs. Mm-hmm. So you know that there's some baggage that they come into this carrying. And I know, I mean, obviously Buck has, he's there buying, was it Demerol?
Or, yeah, like hormones.
Hormones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's...
And to add on to the Buck thing, like, I don't know if you guys picked it up. When Buck was leaving to go to this meeting, Buck's dad calls Buck Michelle.
Yeah.
Which is,
he's obviously not accepting.
Spoiler alert, it's going to be like a kind of a plot point, you know, like what's going on with the story.
I love the part where always talking to Steve and saying something like, that's why I chose you. And he's like, I chose you, bitch. And she's like, did you? Yeah, but like, did you? But I like it because I like the idea that there is something like otherworldly drawing them all together. Yes. I loved that. And to add to your point, like, all of them are also kind of lost in their own, like, you know, when BBA is like sitting in her bed and opens it and then closes it, you know, she's like curious again because her conversation with the OA as Steve's fake stepmother really drew her in and like meant something
a little more in like how all these people came to be like drawn to Nina. What are we calling her?
I just said prayer.
The OA.
She's
just,
the OA.
Yeah,
let's talk a little bit about that, what you just brought up, Kathleen, because I know I walked in on Brian rewatching the episode and we both collectively love the first conversation between BBA and the OA.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually incredible.
Yeah, that might have been my favorite scene of the episode. I just thought it was such a conversation, and you guys touched on it earlier. This is clearly an actress who's very in touch with the character she's trying to portray, which makes sense. She wrote it and whatnot. As she's trying to get her concepts across about why it's more beneficial for BBA to help Steve, she's like getting frustrated because she can tell, like, you just don't get what I get. Like, you can't think about it the way that I am. And I can't think about it that way either because I haven't seen the show, obviously. But like, you can tell she's frustrated and she knows more than like BBA, and she wants to help these people, and she's woke. She also mentioned like
she's woke
different dimensions and stuff. I think what she said is this is the play, cast of two, setting, classroom, over many dimensions through time. And you know, Steve's like sensitive enough to feel that like this dimension is susceptible to greed and jealousy and like horrible things. And she also made a point to say that Steve is sensitive. Like, is he kind of an empath that hasn't been awoken yet in the sense that the OA is?
I love Steve, dude.
Steve's really good.
I almost feel like we can't be saying that as vets because it's like we've seen the whole thing. So like, I guess as the pilot, I don't blame Dave for being like, this guy's a fucking doucher.
He's meant to be. Yeah. But it doesn't stop it. I thought Ramsay Bolton was a douche and Joffrey was a douche. I still love the characters.
Yeah, but Ramsay Bolton and Steve.
Yeah, those are terrible examples. Wait,
what?
You're calling Steve Ramsay Bolton?
No. I'm just saying you can feel morally about a character differently than just appreciating them in the show.
Yeah, but I don't like Steve the way I love to hate Ramsay. Okay, I love them completely differently. I think Steve has like so much potential to grow. Rooting for you.
Yeah, I can see that. For you. Like Brian said, he is due. He's going to have his character arc and he's going to grow from it. I can see that already happening. I don't know how it's going to happen, obviously, but Steve didn't grab the screen for me. But going back to that conversation with what's her name?
BBA.
BBA.
Yeah.
I loved how the OA just kept hammering on the fact that we have to keep revisiting your passion. Like at the beginning, I'm like, why do you keep saying that? Like, that's just clearly going to piss her off. And then she elaborates, we have to remind you of your passion. Because if you were starting this job, you wouldn't have given up on this kid.
I also really like the way she phrases it when she's like, what's your reason? It's kind of like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It was literally the first, like one of the first things she mentions, and she doesn't really elaborate it until the second half of the conversation. Mm-hmm. At the first half, I was like, what are you? You're not making any sense right now.
I'm not a teacher, but I
would be pissed. Yeah.
And was like,
exactly.
What's your reason? I'd be like, yeah, man, I throw crowns at the wall and say, now who the fuck
would
that?
But. Well, she does.
I fucking love that. Yeah. Sydney, TV's leaking. Okay, anyway. Brenda's like one of the best movie characters of all time. Anyway, sorry, derail.
Was that easy, A?
No,
that is also very quotable.
Yeah, yeah.
So okay, you guys can have this. We usually do our like American Dad gag.
Or Rick and Morty.
Yeah, we'll get our anime references in.
So you guys have this.
We
guys
will have this. Yeah. We did not need permission.
Where's the Rick and Morty reference in this episode, Dave? Come on.
Oh, not yet. God, we're not there yet.
It blows my mind just like Rick and Morty does. So.
No, but that conversation is obviously what directly leads BBA to deciding to keep her door open at night and then go to meet the OA. And I do want to jump right onto that is what do you guys think about the whole concept of leaving your door open to the OA for the stories?
I didn't understand that. Did I miss something with
that's
that?
Like some religious stuff.
It's very specific.
Isn't that like a religious element? Someone who knows stuff, correct me, but they have to like paint their door frame with like blood of a lamb to avoid a plague happening to them. Everybody who believes.
Yeah, but that's not leaving your door open. That's putting a
it's
sign
the
on your
same
door.
Exact thing. No, I'm totally kidding.
This is vampires. This is some vampire shit. Honestly.
Could be. You're absolutely right. I have watched an extensive amount of Vampire Diaries, so I know that now.
What is
the 08 is just Twilight fan fiction.
What was the knowledge we had of that? She just requested Steve to just have five friends ready with their doors open. That's literally all it was. Like, we didn't get any more information other than that.
They need
right?
to be strong and flexible.
And you know that she was pretty adamant on the fact that there needed to be at least five of them at the end.
I also love when she goes, you have to at least fake like you believe in me. Or what did she say? You have
oh
to
my
fake,
God,
like,
that line was
until
incredible.
You do, until you actually do. I was like,
I don't know. Did you write it down? I know I quoted again as
you
we were watching it.
To pretend you believe in me until you actually do.
Yeah, something like that.
So good.
I know.
There seems to be an element of you need to kind of take the leap of faith and invite her in. Like it has to be of your own free will to do it and be like, okay, I'm giving you a shot.
It's like an initial clip of vulnerability you have to show at the top of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably what the door open is. But
it is very like religious. Now that we're talking it through and like asking someone just to believe in them and follow them with barely any information and like
She's Moses.
Jesus Christ himself.
Speaking of the religious aspect, there was also some obvious imagery whenever I have it in my notes as, and I quote, did some OA shit. Like it got really sunny outside right after BBA, the parent teacher conference.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It got really sunny right after, you know, the dog was sent to attack her and then she calmed the dog down, which was a crazy scene.
Yeah.
She had to like bite its neck.
That was bonkers.
Yeah.
It got sunny in the background and everybody was just like, okay, here's your camera back. But it did get sunny for sure. That's why in my head, I'm thinking there's like a heavenly element to it. I don't know. It's very supernatural. There's like some stuff going on.
Even if we can't react, because even if we react in a non-reacting way, it's kind of reacting, right? Does that make sense?
Okay, wait. Next topic. What do you guys think about Homer? Who she's like really like yearning for, the elusive Homer that we're seeing.
No. Literally, I have no way to begin to answer this question, to be honest. I mean, all I know is that technology is something huge for them, their relationship somehow, because she kept going to the camera. She was using doing the selfie videos, and then she kept hounding on the internet, which is something we also need to talk about, because what the fuck is up with that?
What specifically?
I just felt like the internet seemed like such like a rare thing here. It didn't seem like the way they would
like
ask about it. What was that?
It. They were like cutting her off from it.
Yeah.
And it was like her old ass computer from when
she was
there.
Thing, like even the way she was asking, like,
oh, she doesn't know.
She was like, what's your password? And it's like, is that how Wi-Fi works? I don't think so.
But 7 years ago, it kind of is like.
I guess, when did this come out?
I get such a 2007 vibe from this show. Don't you guys get
it
a 2007 vibe?
It has
vibe?
To be like mid-2000s. Yeah.
Early aughts.
Well,
late aughts.
There was a newspaper. Though.
Yeah, it did come out in 18 for sure.
Yeah, but if he's talking to like the 7 year gap of like when she would have disappeared.
Because then, okay, and that leads me into the end where we're, okay, I forgot about this too, when Homer wakes up from his coma too, or whatever
so
it was.
I didn't take that as the football player was Homer. I think Homer is some other OA sort of entity. that is out here making miracles. Like she was just like Homer was there.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm thinking. Oh, okay. But they were both. I have no idea, man. I have no idea.
These thoughts just go to dead ends. You try to make connections that aren't there.
Well, how about the like,
maybe she was in a coma the whole time, and he was in a coma, and only people who are in comas can all meet up on this ethereal.
That's
realm.
Sick. Like, that's okay. Sick.
So, you guys are killing it. Right?
So there has to be something about flatlining because right when she came back after jumping off the bridge, first thing she asked the nurse was, did I flatline? Yeah. Did you check the charts? Like, did you double check? So that's a thing.
Did she want? Did it seem like she wanted the flatline, or she wanted to avoid it?
Seems like she wanted to.
That's what I got.
It was also a point they said that the football player had flatlined, so he was dead.
So, but maybe that means he loses all of his memories of whatever relationship they had.
That's a possibility.
I wish I could just like wipe my brain.
I know. I don't want to say anything.
This totally seems like
one. I just thought they were coma buddies. That's all I took.
How about the line where she says something? She's talking to the camera and she's like, I think under the covers at this point, talking to Homer, and she's like, for a second, I'm doubting that you were real or that you were even real. I love the idea of her just being like, what? Like at some points, even doubting herself, even though you guys have no idea what the fuck she's even doubting, like who is he? Who knows? I still love that line because that'll kind of come back as a theme throughout the season.
She said, I actually wrote those down because I thought they were interesting. She said, remember the night we pretended we were in a real bed and we would describe them to each other? There's moments where I think I made you up. Yeah. And she said, I didn't leave you behind. So, Dave, that quote in particular, I didn't leave you behind, makes me think that they were in the same like.
No, I agree. Plane. I agree that they were in the same ethereal plane. Maybe she left earlier because of whatever brought her back and then he was still there. And then he wakes up from his coma and now he's back in his body. I literally have no idea.
I love this.
Man, I wish someone else was making this podcast so I could listen to it for the first time. Like, geez, this is the OA content right here, man. This is so good.
I also wanted to know, didn't the OA mention at some point that she had died like multiple times?
Talking to the FBI agent saying, okay, I want to dig into that conversation because she said she
FBI
was
agent
picked up by an old woman in a car when she finally came to a road after walking for days and days. And then this person in the car took her to a place and all she could describe that place as was, I don't know, everybody was lost. And that's all we got.
Yeah.
Because the FBI agent was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
They were trying to get her to say like you were kidnapped by somebody.
Right.
And she was like, no, like.
No. But as an FBI agent, isn't that not the logical conclusion?
And the way she was talking as well made it seem like they were dead. Like, obviously she explicitly said they weren't dead, but like, or I don't know if she explicitly
I also want to say that one FBI agent on the left had no business being in that interrogation. He was such a dick to her. And that was the opposite of how you would ever speak to a trauma victim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That dude shouldn't have been in that room.
Yeah. How about when she gets upset that her name's no longer the password?
Yeah. Right.
That was such a bummer.
She was just guessing and got it wrong.
Really? So
I think we both interpreted that differently. That's interesting because I was like, this bitch don't know this password. She forgets it.
I mean, that could be it. But I want to read it.
In the episode, did she try the password and then like get visibly upset? Like, oh, it's not me anymore.
I just thought
she was guessing too.
And then after that,
she is crazy.
That's another way they made the shock factor of the blindness was the thing that was the miscommunication in the thing, because the doctor is first of all being such a bitch to the parents, and the Abel at one point is like, can I just see my fucking daughter?
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. But they're like, she's not responding to the name Prairie, so you're like, this girl has no idea who the fuck she is anymore. But it really was because she's being stubborn. Mm-hmm. She knows she was Prairie, she just wants to be the OA because she has like abandoned that past life completely.
I love that little rebel in her.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's what you said, past life. I'm thinking, I literally have reincarnation, confirmed. Though. I've literally had that.
That's my
down.
First
I like,
theory.
I mean,
reincarnation, living many different lives is definitely.
Yeah, maybe this is her third.
We have the. Her third. I'm specifically referencing Nina life, Prairie life, and then now the OA. Like, she's just had so many chapters in this specific life, is all I meant by that.
She's like, I'm on to the next name.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to ask you guys of what you thought about her parents' treatment of her, specifically after the parents have the conversation with Steve's parents and like they take the door from her and stuff. Like, what do you guys think? Are you thinking like the parents are going to be obstacles? Or are they just like, you know, missing their children? They're being extra safe. Like, what do you think? Are they treating her the way that you expected or want?
just like the vibes I was getting from Steve, I was getting those vibes from the parents. Like, they know something is going on to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't seem like it was just as simple as your kid was missing for 7 years. That was also the other big twist of the storyline, was that she wasn't always blind. She originally could see, then was blind, mm-hmm. then can see again.
We'll but hit anyway, that next.
But like, with all that, like, they were only really concerned about the eyesight thing. Like, they didn't really dive too much. I mean, I guess her and her mother had that one interaction, but they didn't dive right into the 7 year missing thing right away. They only asked about the blindness. And like, even in the hospital, and when the doctor was talking to them, they were just like, look, we just want to see our daughter. It just seemed like they knew something was going on.
I think they're loving parents. That much is obvious. I really liked the bathtub scene where the mom can tell she's distraught and recalls the story of her splitting her head open as a kid. And she was just like, I know we're not flesh and blood, but like, the way that I reacted to that, like, I could tell that you're my daughter, even if it is adopted.
Is that the explicit reveal that...
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That is the reveal
but
of that.
Right in the wake of her being released from the hospital, they both did give her the benefit of the doubt. They were going down the rules that the hospital gave her, and the mom was just like, we don't have to have an open door policy. Mm-hmm. Let's start with just leaving them unlocked. That seems reasonable. And still left her to her own devices. But she also did betray that trust and the amount of slack on the leash that the parents did give her by sneaking out with Steve, I guess. She went to the parent teacher conference is what it was. So will they be obstacles in the sense that I want her to be able to do anything she wants? Yes, but they are loving parents, and I think they're protagonists. Okay. Like, they're on her side.
Mm-hmm. That brought up something as you were talking.
Pro-protagonists.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the hospital, when the doctor is talking to the parents and immediately tells them, like, no internet, nothing. Like, how do they even understand? Like, something's going on here to me. Like, that's like, they specifically, I don't know if it was because maybe she had a concussion.
No, that's like protocol. Anyone who's one on suicide watch or anything, there's certain protocols.
Again, if it's a coma, I guess that is true.
Suicide watch.
Like, scare them.
Yeah. Suicide watch, you've been taken for years. Like, they're trying to keep her off.
It's a massive rabbit hole that you could go down.
Yeah.
But that's the vibes I get too. It feels almost like, not like a hostage situation, but like it feels like she's being sheltered with a purpose, kind of.
Yeah, and that's what, like, I was thinking for a while, like, is this going to be like a, like, not like Mad Max kind of post-apocalyptic Earth, but like, I was thinking like something like technology. That's why, again, the internet being such a huge commodity to me just felt like something was, like, this was old or maybe futuristic where civilization's destroyed. I don't know, but that's, it's obviously not true. Yeah.
Sheltered with a purpose is what you just said. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
Jewel, why don't you walk us through the big epic 57 minute?
Oh my God. Were you guys absolutely gobsmacked at 57 minutes and
22
seconds?
Is that the minute mark? They were off to a pretty good start of a story, and then they told me, nope, hasn't started yet. Buckle
wild?
Up, bitch.
Oh, is that when you get the Moscow? Like,
Netflix presents.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, it is stunning work that you almost forget that you haven't gotten a title sequence, right?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, the scoring is absolute chef's kiss on this whole, I think it's called Nina's Song, but I feel like every time we podcast, I'm like, let's talk about the music.
Yeah, always. I love it too.
It's so good. But I love the fact that what you just spent an hour watching is the bookend or the framework.
Right.
It's not the real bulk. It's not the real meat of the story. And it's like, everything you thought you were gonna get is now something else, and I think that's it sets you up so perfectly in that sense.
I was hanging on every fucking word, and so were they in the room, which is hard to do because she's telling this insane story thing. Like,
and I've read articles that was really hard for them to win over with the network too. They were like, we can't wait this long for the title sequence, like, we just can't. But I mean,
oh my gosh,
she knows,
man,
what she's doing.
I would love to be in the room when they pitch Town TV this to the fucking producer, because this is a weird little show. When this first dropped and I watched half of this first pilot and I go, I got to revisit this on a different day. I'm just not in the mood for this. And then I watch it again.
Did you
get
me into it, or do we watch it independently?
I can never remember who does it, but we pitch it to each other and we go, done. I'll watch it and let you know.
Because I was telling Brian before this, it's technically, I would definitely classify season one specifically as a slow burn, But if you're already in it, episode one, like, it's not going to be a slow burn. But just, I remember going through it, having no hype build up. I haven't talked to it about really anybody besides Kathleen.
Like, surprise dropped it too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something like, there wasn't a lot of marketing about it. So when I was like watching, I was like, whatever. And then the payoff was amazing for season one. And then season two happened. And I think about season two every fucking other night of my entire life. Like, Jesus Christ.
I tell you right now, for season two, it dropped. Like, obviously I work every day, so I don't know the season. But I remember, I feel like I was like, every day I was at work, I was mad. I was at work. I was like, all I want to do is watch COA. Like, it dropped maybe like, I started watching midweek, so I couldn't watch it during the day, and I was fucking mad. Season two was unbelievable.
Nothing has, the last like five, not that this is matters at all to you guys, Rooks, but the last like 5-10 minutes of the finale of season two is just what keeps me up at night. Like, it's just fucking unbelievable. Yeah. But to take us back to season one, where are we left off? I want to talk about the Russia.
I do want to say one fun thing about just kind of the fandom of the OA. It's such a weird show that, one, I mean, people rally, all that stuff, the normal like rally stuff. People think that this new show is going to be like a continuation of the OA with just like a different name of the show. Like, there's like a lot of like really fun campaigns where, or like theories where it's like, the cancellation is just a mind fuck. They're going to drop a third season at some point. Like, all this stuff.
And
like,
low key, that would make fucking sense.
Yeah, I know. I know. Like, there's a lot of like, that's how you know the show's really weird, because all the theories are like twisted. Fucking love that.
But let's take us back to Netflix Presents, because I loved this backstory that we got. It was probably only 7-8 minutes of real time, but just talk me through what were you thinking when you're seeing different name? I think this is the first time we see explicitly Nina being called for a main character. Like, what did you think about this taking place in Russia?
What I experienced in that moment is what I experienced the whole episode, just pure confusion. Just no idea what was going on. Like, wait, her name was, it took me so long to even just remember her name was Prayer, and I'm like, oh shit, it's Nina now. Like, I'm not gonna remember this at all.
Or Ninny,
but
if you're, if you're the little friend.
That was so cute. But,
oh man. And then,
or Little Cabbage if you're the dad.
Yes.
Stop it.
That's a crazy here. I'm going.
That's a crazy nickname for your kid.
But this is
Russian. Russian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very Russian.
Like, man. Little beach sneak or whatever. Something insane that grows in the dirt.
But it's just weird seeing her, like, I guess, quote unquote, normal self. That was her before shit gets weird, I'm assuming, unless maybe all this shit was already weird for her at that age. But like, that was just normal her. Like, she went to school, she was living a normal life.
I mean,
like,
she dreamed,
not even normal,
she
though.
Dreamed she had, of her death. Yeah. She dreamed of that. That the crayons in the water. She's in an aquarium with crayons in the water, and then her fucking school bus goes into the water. And I don't think we see crayons, but it's basically what it means.
Yeah. So she called it an aquarium, and that's just how she was understanding her dreams. But that seemed to be a prophetic, future vision of exactly what happened to the bus. So why was this child innately born with the ability to see the future?
Here's what I want to remind you, though, is that we are getting, this is a secondhand account.
A secondhand account.
Meaning, well, we've already introduced the fact that this is frameworked as a story.
Correct, but it seems like a firsthand account.
This is going to be like some Hill House kind of shit.
What do you mean?
Have you seen Hill House?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. Like, there was like a
don't
whole...
offend her, please.
Yeah, okay, no.
I'm more
not everyone lives
like,
under a rock like me.
We're hearing it. We're hearing a story about her from her.
Correct. So I wouldn't call that a secondhand account. Okay, okay. If I told you my life story, would that be a secondhand account?
No, but it's but I see. But then it plays into the whole reincarnation thing. Like, what I was thinking is that like her mind maybe combined with her other selves, and now she's.
Now
I'm
okay.
She has three. She has three minds in her in her head.
But
right
what
now.
We're seeing is a representation of her account.
Yes,
yeah, versus it's an unreliable narrative kind of thing. A little bit.
For the record, let me jump in and say the favorite thing ever is when she goes, "I was born in Russia," and Steve's like, "Jesus, what?"
Yeah. And like, exactly.
It's like almost self-aware of like, this bitch is crazy.
It's
like,
not
this show
a
is
flashback.
Like,
it's a story.
That's a better way of saying it.
I agree. I like that. Yes. I like that.
I'm with that. So, Dave, I want to continue. I'm not sure who at this table is going to understand this reference. I know, Luke, you probably will. The Logic album, it was his mixtape that came out where the first song is a Neil deGrasse Tyson voiceover. And he essentially says, you can't go to the afterlife until you've literally
walked a mile in everyone's shoes, which means you have to exist and fill the shoes of every single conceivable life of every organism, like in the universe. And only then can you ascend to like ascend to the next level of being. Do you
remember that?
I feel like that might be what we're seeing here. Like with the OA, it seems like she's had multiple lives. And when she said everybody in that room has died more times than I can count, seems like that's what it is.
This is reminding me of fucking Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest with Davy Jones.
And I love the references. We went from Logic album to Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, Captain Jack Sparrow.
Hit Rick and Morty.
Yeah, still haven't hit Rick and Morty.
But no, Captain Jack Sparrow dies. His body enters an ethereal plane, just a place of non-existence, but still exists at the same time and like comes back as himself. Play that into somehow having another life with another as another human being, and you got your OA.
Have we really?
That is the story, Dave.
Have we really even conversed about the etheric realm yet? And this let's take us through this.
We're still going through the flashback. Okay, I got it. That's pretty much the last part of the episode.
Before we get to that, because I really want to talk about how you felt about that, I want to talk about the scene where her dad makes her go into the water.
These damn Russians. It's just like, this is normal shit.
You must be colder than the cold itself. Let me just say that.
I want to say real quick that the first thing I thought of was like, oh, if I have a girl, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. Okay, baby daddy, fuck that. We're not doing that to our child.
Only a girl, though. And then if she does it, I'll accept her into the household.
I watched this episode twice. Upon the rewatch, where Luke was in the room with me, I see them in the car. I know what's going down. I'm like, he is such a good dad. He is like a great dad. Starts chipping away at the ice. I was just like, this is so Russian of him to do. What a great Russian dad.
Like, this is what I'm going to do. Here, just the same thing that Dave just said.
And he looks his six-year-old daughter dead in the eyes. How do we beat the cold? And she just says right to him, we're colder than the cold, and jumps into the, doesn't jump in, but pretty willingly just goes into the lake.
She's so cute, too. She's adorable.
Oh, she's a little cabbage.
What were you going to say, Luke?
I was going to say that. I was like, because you were saying you want to do that to your daughter. B-Taz was saying the same fucking thing.
I also want to say that generally in storytelling, like, I thought it was pretty fucking dope that the reason that bus went off is because all of the really powerful people, Russians, like, yeah, all their kids, their youngest kids were on that bus. It was a message. What'd she say? We were a message or something? Fucking also take the sci-fi out of it. That's a great storyline.
Was that a political thing?
That's why when Dave said just live the normal childhood life, I was like the opposite. She was one of the upcoming rich.
I have that here. Mining company, all that stuff. Yeah,
the bus they were on was the special bus that all the rich kids went on because they were rich and could be on a special bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Does this get political as well?
No.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if that like terrorist act or whatever.
No, but I just really liked that. I was like, this story fucks. This is a good story.
It's a great storyteller.
Yeah. Secondhand account, though. Okay, now let's get to the like freaky like ethereal realm because I thought it was dope. Like I felt cozy there. I was like, I feel cozy watching this.
Bus goes off the bridge and holy shit, she has a mind on her that she can even go and breathe air and start thinking rationally. Is she six? Do we know that for a fact?
I would say that was just crazy.
She was just like going down, looking around. She was so smart.
She told the rest, come on, bitches, there's a light, let's go. Yeah. And they wouldn't follow. Little bitches.
She also was too busy drowning.
I know. I was thinking that. I'm like, they're screaming and just wasting so much energy. Like, so much.
Idiots.
We've seen enough movies now that we can just prepare for any situation.
Don't you know how to drown correctly?
Yeah. Come on.
Go ahead, B-Thomas. You had something on the tip of your tongue right there.
Oh, I was going to say, we're going to put 7-year-old you in a sinking car in the middle of Russia and see if you scream.
I hold the 8 and under record for 25-3.
She sure does. I see. It.
Damn! I rescind my comment. You have earned my respect,
it's still
Julia.
There. Unbroken, baby.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Wow.
But yeah, so she got
the receipts on her.
My question also regarding that scene then is: was she chosen? Like, was there a reason she herself was chosen by this being to get pulled out of the water? Because there was what, 7 other kids in that bus that could have easily also gotten pulled out? You know, like,
well. I don't know if she had a choice to go back or not. Maybe the other kids wanted to stay.
Does it have something to do with the scars?
Wow. Like,
do we know when she got the scars?
Cool.
Ooh, those scars are wild. We didn't even talk about that when Steve sees it in the clothing store. Right, Steve sees it through the crack.
I honestly might have looked away for 1 second at that scene too.
It is exactly 1 second. It's basically, it looks like hieroglyphics on her back or something.
Does, yeah.
I will say though that the parents do know about it because or they don't know about it. I'm sorry, because
the scars.
Yeah, because the nurse informs them. She's like, she has some strange scarring.
Oh, but that's the other thing though. They just like kind of blew that aside as if they had already known. At least in my first watch.
I think at that point they were like, I don't give a fuck what's on her. Give me my daughter.
From an outside perspective.
Like, that's why they brushed off that comment. They brushed off the technology comments. They just were like, that's why I was like, okay, they're definitely in on this at the same point too. But again, I'm just tinfoil hat. I have no idea.
Yeah. Sure.
It's also easy to just look at it from an outside perspective. You don't know what she knows, which nobody does yet. Assuming she, like the FBI, that she got just kidnapped, you wouldn't ask questions, and like he would just assume it was chalked up to torture or some shit. And then we have this, how do we even describe this Arabic girl, because she's, when if you have subtitles on, she's only speaking in Arabic. She pulls the six-year-old drowning Prairie out of the water as she's like in this fetal position, which you don't know if it's symbolism, is it afterlife, is it godlike, it's whatever, it's just this, you know, it's this supernatural scene. And she pulls him up and they have this conversation. What's going through your guys' head of like what this entity is?
Just more
is
references.
It real? Is it in her
more
head?
References. So, like, I'm thinking of Full Metal Alchemist.
There's the anime one.
Yeah. I was thinking, remember in the very first scene when they're trying to bring back the mom?
Yeah.
They literally see an etheric being. There's like, all right, like we'll bring your mom back at the cost of your arm and your brother's body, that shit. So that's exactly what I thought. But other than that, I just really had no idea what was going on. I can't emphasize that enough, but I have no idea.
Dave has no idea what's going on at any point through this episode.
I loved it though. I loved it.
I mean, when I saw the hand, it looks like she has claws and her hands are messed up. Is she supposed to be a human? Obviously, she's chilling in purgatory or whatever the hell this place is. So she's more than human, but she looked almost like ghoulish or like a monster, like a creature.
She reminded me of the villain of the Thor movie. Is it Thor? Like the woman with the crazy black hair spikes?
Yeah, that's Thor Ragnaros.
That's what she kind of reminded me of.
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok, yeah.
Ragnaros.
Luke and his crazy names, as I love it.
No,
did she have Amori hands? I didn't realize.
She had like,
maybe she just had long nails and they were kind of dirty. That. Maybe I'm looking into it too much.
Hands. That's 100 reference, Joel. But okay, so the idea of like this being knowing like her future and is like, I must take your eyes. Like I can't even deal with the
I
fact.
I can't
that,
you let know, you see. That.
I can't let you see it. Like Jesus, and of course. I mean, there's a big chunk. She says, like, I have to take your eyes because I couldn't live with, like, you know, you seeing what's in front of you. She says, you'll know a great love, but it'll be hard or something. It'll be like dark.
She gives her the option. Do you want to go back or do you want to stay? When she says, I want to go back, she's like, all right, well, if you're going back, I'm not letting you see these horrors. And she takes that.
Just the fact that, like, just,
I mean, we're missing that entire captive chunk. So you have to assume it's that.
Yeah, you don't know yet.
Okay.
But like, and then she like puts her hands to her eyes. And that's when she
and then wakes up,
comes out of the ocean, and her dad's there, and she has the red eyes.
That's when I was totally. That's totally when I was expecting her to be the woman that she is now.
Oh, you thought she was just gonna wake up like old?
Yeah. Oh, I kind of did too, actually.
Oh, there you go.
No, but you were not completely wild.
Yeah, then she was on the beach, and her father was there. I was like, well, fuck! Like, I have no idea.
She was gonna come back from that and be a grown ass woman,
or whatever age. She
I mean,
is
but
now.
You know, she lived with Abel and the Harrisbecks.
Yeah, but it could have been the beginning of it.
That could have been the beginning of her like just walking down the like they're like, all right, we send you out, and then she's just walking the road, and then she gets picked up by the fucking truck driver.
And like maybe she just forgot that she lived a life. Crazy.
I thought maybe not that. I thought when she got sent back, her circumstance. I wasn't expecting her to be on the edge of that pond with her father. No time skip. Yeah. Same.
Okay, so we have to recall a very small moment when she first picks up the camera, and it says like speaking in Russian, and then Abel is in the camera like she's obviously a kid, and she goes, and he does this in her sleep. She does. She's been doing this. Whatever she says.
Yes.
Because I wrote a note that goes, there's so many fucking weird things. It's like randomly speaking Russian as a kid on the home movies. Like,
listen,
you have no idea.
Who's not using closed caption in the year 2021 is a fucking idiot.
I know.
Totally agree.
I
turn them on.
But would that not have spoiled? Doesn't that spoil some things?
No, because you gotta turn them on.
No, it kind of makes you go, She speaks Russian. What is this weird fucking kid?
I have no idea where that came from.
And then you get the adoption drop. So it's like things pieced together as you go. It's like, oh, she was adopted. She like, so when she says the Russian thing, it's like, okay, we get a little bit of that before they actually drop that she did grow up in Russia. So I like those little beats that you might just be like, who cares? Otherwise, when you're watching the pilot for a first time,
it's interesting because the first time that they show that scene, I think they really do cast a lot of suspicion on the parents at the get go. I don't know if you guys felt that way.
Been speaking. I feel like you guys are both. Yeah, you guys just agree. Them and Steve have been like weird to me. Mm-hmm. Both
of them. Not even just like, oh, I think they know more, but from the introduction of them being like, she's our daughter. Like you having to tell the nurse that she's your, like, it's this convincing.
Yeah. And that they haven't seen each other in 7 years.
And then they play this game where like they show scenes, what Kathleen just mentioned, where they don't show the full scene of the recording. You just get it cut off where the dad is like, I've been taping her. Like something so weird.
Some taping
something strange. And then there's another scene where Prairie walks out and you can hear on the TV that, there's again closed captioning, best friend. You know what I'm talking about. They say like, oh, you know, 9 out of 10 cases of abductions have something to do with
The family.
Ooh, hot.
One of them. One of them is under wraps and it's definitely Herschel.
A hot catch, not the abduction actual fact, so, but
Herschel's
a hot
the
catch.
Weird one. Herschel's weird.
Okay. Herschel. That would support what I'm about to say. I trust the OA's judge of character, and especially I feel like her sense of touch, which we haven't really talked about. She doesn't like being touched.
Good point.
But her sense of touch seems to coincide with her empath powers. Like she can feel what's up with people once she makes
Haunting of Hill House.
So you're connecting that to like the dog a little bit.
Haunting of Hill House.
Yes. And I think part of the reason she had to bite it was to like mainline that shit into it, like break the skin, get it in there. Maybe that's just me like theorizing. But in the scene in the hospital, she touched the face just because that's the only way she would recognize her mom, which I thought was cool. But also when they were kind of like touching hands, she seemed to know she was safe with this woman.
Gotcha.
So maybe you're right. Herschel, Abel could be the sus one. Yeah. I think Nancy's on team OA.
Yeah. And even in all the conversations that I was referencing, that made me think that I kept saying both parents, but it really has always been Herschel that's been on the weird side to me.
Damn. You guys were incredible with this fucking dialogue.
Yeah, you guys are really good rooks.
I would have been such a shitty rook. Like, you guys have thought of, I guess I wouldn't have podcast and taken notes and stuff.
Until you're like, on this side of it, like, God. I've been the same way.
I had none of these intelligent thoughts that you guys are having that.
We do it for the pod, man. That's all the reason. Like, all of my notes just lead me to these.
I really thought you guys might have, like, come in and totally shat on it. So
no,
so
I was. No. Oh, this is, I actually meant to bring this up. I'm going to bring this comparison to the mics. But this was a way better pilot than the 100.
And you're such a dick.
This is the second pilot that I've covered on this.
But
this is the second pilot that I've covered on this podcast.
The 100 is a CW show.
Yeah, I just want to hurt you guys. That's all.
He knows it hurts us, is why he says it.
I want to read a few quotes that I read on the wiki from people. Go ahead, though.
But I just want to say real quick that the only reason I will, like, the 100s was really good, but I guess the reason why I like this one more is because of that mystery. Like, the 100 is kind of not predictable in the sense that like those aliens or whatever it was, like, they killing Jasper was definitely
aliens
not
aliens in the 100. What the fuck?
It's a different planet they haven't visited in 100 years.
He's just combining the pilot with season 7. So
yeah.
That's fuck, I forgot there's aliens in season 7. Christ.
Yeah, so it was like that, like, okay, I get where that plot's going. When that episode ended, where here it's just like I need to understand everything more clearly. That's why
that's definitely the reason you're feeling that way, is because this is so meticulously planned by Britt Marling herself, and she knew what she was going to do in each season. It wasn't let's make it end on a good cliffhanger to keep the people interested. She had a plan for 5 full seasons.
Yeah,
and I was telling Brian, I can't imagine that the person that decided to cut the funding for this season 3 watched the show, because they did not.
Yeah.
Like, they just didn't. They just,
and they're not sci-fi fans. What blew the budget?
Zendaya.
Oh,
I was actually going to say
me
that.
Me too. I didn't want to spoil that she's in season 2.
She is, Dave. That's cool for you, though, right? Like, Zendaya is she's like a hippie kind of.
I remember texting I don't know. I guess it was you being like, is that Zendaya? Dude. I can remember being like, it is, but I almost don't believe it. It doesn't fit. It's not right. Let me read these quick quotes that I thought were great. So I pulled these off the wiki. The only thing I'm sure of when it comes to the OA is that the process of watching and experience an episode is unlike the viewing of any other show on TV. And good or bad, there's value in that.
Yes.
The second one is the OA is Netflix's strongest and strangest original production since Stranger Things. Dave, good call. In terms of substantive original drama, it transcends you. Mind you, it's unclassifiable in the context of drama, mystery, science fiction, and fantasy, since it's straddling all sorts of lines and blurring them.
Unclassifiable.
It's outright astounding and brilliant, too. I was like, yeah, pretty much.
Definitely.
It's just a whole mix of shit.
Yes.
It really is. It's good stuff.
Overall, I'm definitely sold on this show. Like, I have
give you ratings yet.
Yeah,
though.
But how do we access content beyond season two? Like, is there like a script somewhere we could read that we?
Well,
know
me and Kathleen run a fanfic website that you can subscribe to.
We're like 87 chapters in. You're good.
That's what I was saying. Like, Britt, at some point, it could be 5 years down the road, needs to release the plans, the rough outline.
I think it's in there.
Yeah, I think eventually that'll come to light of what. Somewhat of what the plan was, because Jesus Christ,
it was really cool learning that she herself was the inventor of
and
this show.
And give that little tidbit of information you found out.
Yeah, so she went to Georgetown University and was valedictorian, and she studied economics, so she wasn't a theater person in college. But she actually met the other showrunner of this show, the guy with, I apologize
the
to
name.
This man, but the long name.
Sorry to this man.
Sorry to this man.
And a third person, actually, who I believe is her ex-boyfriend, who the three of them have collaborated on pretty much every project she's been involved. She did like the Sundance circuit for her first three or four films that garnered attention, which landed her the OA job.
Wow, that's crazy.
No, she's a genius.
She's a smart bitch.
She's very smart.
Strikes me as a very interesting person from her Wikipedia page, and she's pretty private too. Like they said, yeah, she dated this one guy years ago, and you know, nothing about her.
To have the mind to create the show, you have to be a genius.
I wish we did it.
I know. Britt, if you want to come on and talk about the show, you can, girl. Get on here, Britt.
It's actually, now that I'm remembering it, I'm pretty sure this got the announcement for this of it getting canceled was in the same boat as Mindhunter, and I was
it was within a year of each other.
And I actually remember being a little upset that Twitter was trending the OA to bring it back, so I was like,
it
no
was
we
hashtag
want
save the OA.
Yeah,
I was like, no, Mindhunter. We want Mindhunter back, not the OA.
You can just like read a book.
Accurate, true, but come on,
you love Mindhunter.
I love that
both
show.
Great shows too. Great shows. Netflix cancels the wrong shows.
100%.
It's ridiculous.
I love these suspense shows. That's what I just love, things that just leave huge open-ended mysteries.
Give me unique content, please.
So I can already tell I'd rather them keep this show going than Stranger Things.
Yeah,
we keep comparing it.
I know. But so we also got the dynamic of like some sort of god, and then we also got the dimensional planes and everything. So it's just like this show has literally just opened itself up to anything.
So
time travel, like
perfect, because this is a good segue to what I want to end. There's a couple things I want to touch on before we get out of here. I know we're probably, I don't even have no idea what how long it's been.
It's definitely
but
been at least
an hour. I think it's like, pretty.
That flew by. It tells you that we really enjoyed this.
I can tell. Dave's a tough sell for pilots.
I know he is. A pilot has a tough job. It really does.
This was good.
I want just a set in stone. It doesn't matter how wrong it is or how crazy out there it is. I want a set in stone prediction about what you think at all this plot could be moving towards. Yes. And I just want, give me something from both of you.
Little cabbage. Let's hear a little cabbage.
Because you guys have both been dropping good theories throughout, but just give me one that's sticking in your head that you think actually holds water.
A
and
mountain you'll die on.
Yes.
So I'm going to stick with my logic callback. With the Neil deGrasse Tyson stuff, that like these people have to live many, 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 many lives. And at a certain point, you kind of ascend to the next level. And I feel like the OA has done a significant portion of that journey. And now maybe the next part is to go back and help other people become self-actualized in that way and learn how to help other people and then learn how to help other people help other people. And I would stick with that. Other than that, I have no clue.
I love that guess.
I'm just throwing references out there left and right, but I'm just literally thinking of Solo Leveling right now. I'm just like, there's this creator and like a god, if you want to call it that, or gods. And they are, I guess they're just like puppet masters essentially. And she is this being that can just live all these different lives. Like she can live one life, die. And I guess like the ultimate goal would be to save humanity. But that's just like such a broad and wrong statement that I just have no idea. I literally have none.
Put it in stone. No, I like it. I got it written down. We're going to revisit
this. They're just like kind of fighting for humanity's sake or something. I don't know. She's just like reliving lives essentially. And she, it's kind of like,
yeah, like
Edge
that.
Of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow, kind of.
She does say that thing about like, you guys are going to help people you'll never even meet. Which yeah, I exactly. like, you know, it's cool.
She's definitely got a higher purpose because like you guys have been alluding to, it's she seems to be trying to help everyone for the most mm-hmm. part. She's definitely on everyone's side and wanting to better everyone around her, it seems.
So to follow that segment up real quick, I have a, can I do this, Kathleen?
Just do it.
All right. Yeah, fuck it. Who cares? So I have a multiple choice answer here for you guys. That is, I'm going to give you four options and they're all going to sound equally fucking insane about where this show is going. It's not like a super big spoiler, but it's just like a,
and one of the options is right.
A vein of the main plot, and one of them is right. I'm not going to give you the answer. I just, based off this pilot episode, I want to know what you think we could possibly be moving towards. Okay. So here are your four options. Ready? First option is alien creationism and the start of human intelligence. The second option is parallel universe traveling. The third option is the origin story of a supernatural religion. And then the fourth option is a murder mystery involving death superpowers. So I tried to take common themes throughout this episode and things that you guys are saying, because all of them are equally fucking insane.
Like, I don't know which one it is.
I tried to make it slightly vague, but me and Kathleen vetted it before. And yeah. I think we're right. I'm going to give them to you again. Yeah. So alien creationism, focusing on human consciousness. Number two is parallel universe traveling. Number three is the origin story of a supernatural religion. And number four is a murder mystery involving death superpowers.
Either two or four. That's what I'm torn between right now.
What is two and four again?
So two is parallel universe traveling, and four is the murder mystery involving like supernatural death powers.
I like it all combined into one theory. How about that? Alien creationism.
Alien creationism and human consciousness.
These like origin, twists are
and then,
insane.
And then yeah, I just have the no third idea. Option that we haven't like revisit right there was just the origin story of a supernatural religion.
I like that, but that was too, I like that option at first, but then I was like, ah, no, it's too specific to the fact that we were talking about religion.
I wrote these before we talked. Oh. Yeah. This was all written before the podcast. Yeah.
We talked a little bit
more. Oh shit. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we have touched on something that could fit into each of these four. Like you guys combined have had theories that would have fit into every single one of these options.
Screaming to me, I think.
I mean, parallel universe jumping.
So general.
They already described that there's multiple dimensions, so I don't think that one's entirely wrong. But something about A is appealing to me. Alien creationism with a focus on human consciousness.
So I guess like what you're clinging onto there is just the entity. At the end, right? Yeah. I want to guess.
I said two.
Two final answer?
Yeah, two is my final. That's the only one that's like really calling to me. I mean, all of these are realistic. I mean, these are all great.
This show, it's wild.
Doesn't strike me as a, you said murder mystery with death powers? Like death superpowers?
Power, yeah.
It's a murder mystery. She came back. Now she has superpowers. Nah, that's too big. I'm going to go with the alien creationism with human consciousness or human intelligence.
All right. Good shit.
A.
That was final that's answer. A good one. They're all good.
The way you worded them are fabulous. I'm in on all of them. I'd watch all those shows.
Yeah.
Combine.
Can we?
Yeah, can we? Maybe we just have our pitch for
but now I think it's I think we're ready for the rating system, right?
Yeah, so I forget what the first one is, but we're gonna remake it up. So it's here binge. Okay, here is our three rankings. Okay, we're gonna do binge worthy binge. That's number one. That is, you are stopping what you're doing, whatever you're watching right now, throw it out the window. You're watching it right now. The second one is added to the list, meaning, you know, I really like the show, I'm interested in what I'm watching right now, whatever. Like
when
it
I
is.
Get time, I will watch it.
Yeah, I like Luke's thing is like, okay, for binge, I'm going to finish this within the next 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. The next one is like 2 or 3 months. Now, the third one is And for that reason, I'm out, which means you have to give a reason why you're not absolutely not going to watch the show, which is tough. And this is very vulnerable.
Do not.
Don't hurt Julia's feelings.
No, no. I was going to say be brutal, like if you need to be. I need you to be honest. It's
brutal out here.
No, brutal honesty, at least for me. I'll talk out my answer. It's between a 2 and a 3 because I'm currently still, unfortunately, in the process of watching Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
And I watched this episode and I was like, immediately, like, fuck Peaky Blinders. Like, let's go into this.
Wait, so 1 or 2, you mean? Like, binge or add it to the list?
First reaction, without thinking logically, like, getting that episode done, I was binge. I was
okay,
one.
So 1 or 2. You said 2.
But then I was like, you know, I have been stuck on this Peaky Blinders train for so long, and I'm so close to finishing it. I just need to do that before anything else, which is why it drops it to a 1. No, but when
dude,
I my first,
so
be clear
now?
With your rating system. It's binge is 1, okay. Like the top
so
tier.
First initial reaction right after finishing the episode was binge, and then I moved down
to add it to the list.
When I thought logically, yes, add it to the list.
Here's my thing about that. And I agree and respect you. The way I watch TV is like, and I told Luke not to do this because he's middle of season 3 of Wynonna. He goes, I'm going to stop Wynonna and then watch the OA. And I was like, no, don't stop. Cause I'm, but I would do exactly the same thing. Cause I'm like, let me ride this OA hype while I have it.
Yeah.
Because if you forget it and go back to Wynonna, you'll be like, oh, do I really,
I'm
feel
not
like
going to not finish Wynonna. So don't be worried about it.
Right.
B-Toms.
This is a binge for me. I'm between shows, so it wasn't that hard. But even if I wasn't, I said earlier on this episode, after episode 1, it was late. I shouldn't have wanted to watch another episode. I wanted to watch another episode. I would have if I didn't have to talk at length about episode 1. So yeah, this is a binge for me. Definitely binge worthy. Period.
Nice.
Okay.
Julie, you picked a good one.
Any final OA thoughts from you, Rabbi girl?
No, man. I'm like, I'm so thrilled that you guys, I mean, I'm taking that as a binge.
Yeah, it's basically
two binges.
You know what? Yeah. If you have to give something multiple, like, tries, like shoves in the ass, then like, it's maybe not. It's not for you. So, I mean, I did that. I tried watching multiple shows multiple times. Like, I watched the pilot instead of things, and it's like, if you're forcing it, it ain't happening.
I agree with that. That's what, even though Peaky Blinders has been taking me so long, it's just because I'm so close. Like, I'm literally just 1 season, which are 6 episodes, just, and I'm done. Like, I'm just gonna do it. I might not, like, I did enjoy it, and I guess I am struggling with it, but this would definitely have taken priority if
and
I
again,
didn't have so,
six,
those strong
16
feelings.
Episodes over 2 seasons, 8 and 8, but they are weird where it's not a consistent amount of time. Like, this pilot episode was an hour and 10 minutes, and some will be 40 minutes, okay. And some, most will be like 30. 55. Yeah, some will be really short. So
those episodes are always like weirdly satisfying to me. Like, the idea of like watching a 50, 60 minute episode, and then the next one being 30, and it ends. You're like, what the
Carnival
hell?
Row was like that a little bit, I think.
Thank God.
Yeah. You had something to say in this chunk of time, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't push it. Don't do 42 because you need 42.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Yeah. But okay. So, since this is a success like Wynonna, we're going to come back for Wynonna and do season recaps because it's fucking fun and we love the Wynonna fans. And we could do the same with the OA. So, we'll bring Joel back. And do see, because we're all gonna re-binge. Like, she's 100%. What you like already halfway through the season, right?
Yeah, I got like an episode and a half.
Yeah, so Dave, it'll be more of a binge for you because for the pod you have to. So we're gonna set a date.
If you have time. If now that it's for the pod, it will now be in that binge. Yeah.
We're making a group
and it's
chat.
Not because I've,
I was just gonna say,
I want live reactions as they watch some crazy shit.
I was gonna text out a bunch of things as I was watching. I was like, I'll just save it for the podcast. But the whole time, like, 5 minutes in, I was like, I'm ready to text them. I have no idea what's going on. And 5 minutes later, should I text them? I really have no idea what's going on.
I can't wait for the first Pitch Town episode where we're all like, and for that reason, I'm out.
Shark Tank.
Are you going to do the outro?
Yeah, man, let's do it. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can find us on...
she's not wrong. There you have it. I think that was a very successful another Pitch Town. The fans love the OA, the fans meaning Ryan and Dave. But yeah, so if you like what you heard, give us a listen on Pitch Town. Give
Apple
us a listen.
Podcasts,
follow
Spotify.
Us and like.
Yeah, follow,
nobody
like, subscribe on all of our platforms.
Nobody listens this far.
Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, no one really does, honestly.
We also
We're
cover
all of this.
This is Pitch Town. We
the sloppiest outro.
We covered
we've ever
Wynonna.
Had.
Go watch the pilot of Wynonna. We also cover full seasons of The Magicians, The Boys, The Haunting of Hill House series, Alice in Borderland, the fucking all the Marvel TV Curse, shows. WandaVision, Curse, Dab on Curse, the only season of Curse. We got it.
Rest in peace.
We have a cool new interview coming out for the Magicians fan, so keep an eye out for that. Bam, 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 bam. It's actually probably going to be out before this episode airs, so that's good. This is going well. Anyway, this is Bingetown TV.
And thanks for listening.
And thanks for listening. Yeehaw. Whoa, up, dog.
Let's fucking go.
I was going to hit you with it at the beginning. I was like, we haven't done this. We haven't podcasted together in so long. I'm going to hit her with the up dog.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.